You are listening to the Retirement Wisdom Podcast, focusing on the changing nature of retirement today and the non-financial aspects of a successful retirement transition. Join host Joe Casey and learn from leading experts in the field and the stories of people who created interesting second acts as they share practical ideas and tips to create your own. Check out our website at retirementwisdom.com, where you can download our newsletter and other resources to learn more about how coaching can help you. The best way to support this podcast is to head over to Apple Podcasts and post a rating and a comment. It's easy and it's free. Join our conversations and get wiser about your retirement.
Does your workout routine include strength training? Our guest today will explain why it should and how to do it properly and safely as you enter middle and later life. My guest today is Dave Durrell. Dave has been working in the health and fitness industry for almost four decades, working as a personal trainer, fitness studio owner, and as a Division I and NFL strength and conditioning coach, as well as a licensed physical therapist assistant. His Division I collegiate experiences include working with Princeton University, which is across the street from my office. Dave successfully trained hundreds of personal training clients, rehabilitated thousands of physical therapy patients after injuries and surgeries, and helped some of the top athletes in the world stay in the field and compete at the highest level. He knows exactly how to help people get the best possible value out of the time you spend strength training, and how to compensate for age-related limitations, how to avoid new injuries, and rebuild old ones. He works with people 50 and above so that they'll be able to work out correctly without pain, build and maintain a high level of strength and muscle mass at any age, and overcome any physical barriers standing in the way of you living your fullest life in your later years. Dave, thanks so much for taking the time to talk with us today.
My pleasure, Joe. Thank you very much for having me. I'm a big fan of the show.
Appreciate that. And Dave, let's start with strength training. Why is strength training important as you get older? And what would you say are the key benefits?
Well, Joe, for older people, I think strength training is much less about appearance and much more about health and function. Building and maintaining a high level of muscular strength makes all physical activity easier. And that's going to allow people, especially older people, to have their highest possible level of pain-free function. So why is that important? What this does, Joe, is this brings the freedom for people to say yes to those bucket list items that they haven't checked off yet. The ones, the experiences that are going to create lasting memories for them, whether it's that family trip you've been planning for years to Machu Picchu, whether you want to try paddleboarding for the first time, or even just being able to join into the backyard volleyball game at the next family reunion. A lot of people over 50, Joe, have the resources now, both time-wise and financially, to really do some of these things that they've always wanted to do. But the question I have for people is, are you going to be physically ready to do those things? And getting on a consistent, proper strength training program will help with that. And then, of course, Joe, there's many health benefits associated with strength training, especially for people over 50. There's actually too many in total for me to list in the time that we have today, but I'll give you a few that are especially important for people over 50. Strength training can improve glucose metabolism, which of course is important for combating diabetes. Strength training also increases your resting metabolic rate, which is basically the amount of calories you burn at rest. Your muscles are your calorie burning engines, Joe. So the bigger and stronger they are, the more calories they need, even on the days that you're resting, which leaves less calories left over to be stored as fat. Strength training reduces pain and discomfort from arthritis. It also improves bone mineral density, which of course is important for those at risk for osteoporosis. It has a beneficial effect on self-esteem, that sense of accomplishment you get from progressing through a strength training program. And here's an exciting one for us older folks, Joe, that a lot of people don't think about. Strength training has been shown in studies to improve executive cognitive function in seniors. Things like improved task performance, enhanced selective attention, and conflict resolution. Obviously, cognitive impairment and dementia are big healthcare issues for seniors. And strength training only once or twice a week has been shown to combat cognitive decline. In fact, Joe, properly performed strength training, to my way of thinking, is the closest thing we have to a real-life fountain of youth. As you say on your website, a 20-plus year retirement is a terrible thing to waste. And I believe strength training done properly and consistently will help you keep strong and healthy enough to make the most of those years. So I think it fits perfectly with the retirement wisdom theme.
So, Dave, what are the downsides of not doing strength training as you get older?
Well, Joe, once we get into probably our 40s or so, there's a physiological process called sarcopenia that begins to manifest itself, and it sticks with us for life. What sarcopenia is, it's an age-related muscle loss, and experts estimate it causes us to lose around half a pound of muscle per year on average. That's about 5 pounds of movement-producing muscle tissue per decade. This would be like the engine in your car, Joe, shrinking and losing horsepower every year. It's not a good thing. And it gets worse. Assuming we maintain the same eating habits throughout the years, that lost muscle will be replaced by stored body fat. So even if our body weight stays the same over the years, we're actually getting weaker and fatter as a natural consequence of aging. But the point is that if we don't do anything, we don't stay the same. We actually get worse because our ability to function independently and our overall health are being eroded just by the passage of time. So the best way to mitigate the effects of sarcopenia is consistent progressive resistance exercise or strength training. Regularly imposing a challenging demand on your muscles will keep them strong and counteract the muscle wasting effects of sarcopenia. And of course, Joe, also not doing strength training as you get older means you will not get the resulting health benefits that I mentioned earlier. So to me, the return on your time investment with strength training is so overwhelmingly positive. I can't think of a good reason not to do it. If you do it properly, it's safe. It doesn't require any athletic skill, doesn't take a lot of time, and it's sustainable for life.
So a lot of our listeners are active. They have a number of things they do in terms of working out and exercise. I'm wondering, how does strength training fit into an overall fitness plan?
Well, in my view, Joe, strength training should be the foundation of an overall fitness plan. There are 4 components to physical fitness. One is muscular strength. And in addition, you have cardiovascular endurance, flexibility, and body composition. Of those 4, I believe muscular strength is the one that holds primary importance. In everyday life, it seems like strength is called upon more often than an extreme level of cardiovascular endurance or extreme flexibility. And since strength training builds your muscle tissue, it plays a central role in body composition, which is the 4th component. And a properly performed strength training program will positively affect the other 3 components. Cardiovascular endurance will be improved. Flexibility will at least be maintained and in some cases improved. And of course, body composition. But the other components, when trained for, the training that would improve those other components, meaning things like endurance training, stretching, or dieting, do not improve muscular strength. So strength training is going to give you the biggest bang for your buck time-wise. And done properly, it requires very little time, under 45 minutes, a couple times a week. Another point is, Joe, strength training is instrumental in reducing the risk of injuries. So people that regularly engage in sports-type activities, whether they're runners or they're in the local cycling club or they play tennis. Strength training is important to kind of help make you more resistant to the injuries you might possibly inflict during those types of activities. So it's important for that reason too. Of course, I'm not saying people should only do strength training and be sedentary the rest of the time. I'm a big believer, Joe, as you alluded to, this idea that we rust out faster than we wear out. So I want everybody to be active, at least engaging in low to moderate intensity leisure activities or exercise on their non-strength training days. But if they're in the local tennis league or they're running road races, things that are a little higher intensity in nature, you need to take into consideration that you only have one gas tank for recovery. So you'll want to, in those cases, allow a little extra time for recovery between those activities and your strength training.
Recovery is so important. And 45 minutes, 2 days a week sounds quite doable. And ever since you gave me an answer to the first question, I've been stuck on picturing getting my vertical leap back for that volleyball game. But 45 minutes twice a week, what's a typical training workout look like for men and women who are over 50?
Well, I hope we can get you that vertical leap back, Joe. I don't see any reason why not. A strength training workout for men and women over 50, first of all, should look the same, because whether you're male or female, we all have the same muscles, and the physiological process that causes an increase in muscular strength is the same for everybody. So whether we're male or female, once we're over 50, we want to have two kind of different aspects to our strength training. We want to strength train the large superficial muscles of the body, the ones that are readily visible, as we would whether we're over 50 or not. But we also want to train the smaller deep muscles of the body, which are the muscles that serve to kind of hold us together and protect us from injury. So a good strength training workout for someone over 50 will include exercises for both. Now, once you get to the gym, Joe, before starting the actual workout, I recommend people spend a few minutes warming up. This is going to increase the internal temperature just a little and prepare your body for the workout, kind of like warming up your car before driving on a cold day. Now, with the warm-up, you want to make sure you include movements for both upper and lower body, because we're going to be strength training your full body in every workout. So if you have something like an elliptical machine or an air bike, you can do the whole thing in one apparatus. If you don't, you can use a bike or a treadmill for a few minutes for your lower body, and then just perform a few simple movements with light dumbbells for your upper body. But you want to be sure not to turn your warm-up into a workout of its own. You just want to do enough so that you feel you won't injure yourself during your strength training workout, but save your strength for the actual workout. Now, getting into the strength training workout. For the large superficial muscles I mentioned, these are the ones that everybody knows about, the pecs, the biceps, the abs, the glutes, etc. We're going to cover your full body, Joe, in five different movements. We're going to start with a lower body push, which is where you're going to be extending or straightening your knees and hips. So something like a leg press type of exercise. Next is lower body flexion. Flexion means bending. So we can alternate on this one between knee flexion, bending the knees, such as a leg curl type of exercise. And on the next workout, we can do plantar flexion for the ankles, which plantar flexion is the motion you make when you push the gas pedal. So that's going to involve your calf muscles. So like a seated or standing calf raise type exercise. Third on our list is an upper body push, which would involve straightening the elbows, such as a barbell bench press, a chest press machine, or an overhead press. Next, we'll add an upper body pull. That's an exercise where we're bending the elbows as we perform the exercise, such as a pull down movement, or a rowing movement, or even a chin up. And the fifth one is a midsection exercise, which can be either trunk flexion for the abdominals or trunk extension for the low back muscles. Those can be done on a machine or a specially designed bench. Once those are over with, now we move on to the smaller deep muscles of the body. These are things like the rotator cuff muscles of the shoulder, the muscles in your neck, and even the gripping muscles in your hands. I call exercises for these muscle groups, Joe, rebuilding exercises. What you want to do here is you want to pick exercises for areas of your body that have either been injured in the past or that you feel are especially vulnerable to injuries in the future. So the exact exercises vary based on each individual's personal situation, medical history, and available equipment. And usually I recommend three of these rebuilding exercises per workout, and that will bring the total number of exercises performed to 8. And then after the strength training workout, Joe, if you have a couple extra minutes, that's a great time to do a little stretching, especially for the shoulders and hips, which those two areas tend to lose a lot of flexibility as we get older. But once you get the hang of things, Joe, this whole process takes under 45 minutes, and you only need to do it once or twice a week.
Thanks for running us through that, Dave. And what's different about strength training when you're over 50 compared to when we were younger?
Well, Joe, I may be preaching to the choir here with your audience, but once we get over 50, you generally start feeling the effects of age-related wear and tear on your body. We have a bit more mileage on the car than we did when we were 20. So you might feel injuries from the past coming back to haunt you a little bit with some chronic aches and pains. I can definitely say that new injuries will be much harder to recover from. And if your experience with strength training, if you worked out when you were younger, there might be exercises that you loved in your 20s that now performing them causes too much pain to do them at all with any meaningful resistance. So once we're over 50, we have to make adjustments to our strength training program to reflect these type of changes. Another difference shows that safety is of greater importance. As I mentioned, new injuries are much harder to recover from when you're older, and that influences decisions on things like exercise selection and choice of equipment. For example, if we were going to perform a lower body pushing exercise, as I mentioned earlier, choosing a leg press machine is a much safer option than performing barbell squats. When you're younger, you may be willing to accept that risk, or you may not even be aware of the risk. But when you're older, not so much so, because as I've already mentioned, injuries are much harder to recover from.
Appreciate that. And I'm guessing that you probably hear some common concerns about strength training with people as we age. Some might think it's too time consuming. Sounds like you've addressed that. But I think some people might also worry about that safety factor you mentioned, risk of injuries. What do you hear from people in terms of concerns, and how do you address those?
Well, Joe, a lot of people come to me with a preconceived notion that in order to get the most benefit from strength training, they're going to have to devote a lot of time. They haven't really heard of this idea of strength training taking only 45 minutes once or twice a week. And this, I don't have time, by the way, is the classic objection to exercise. It's the same one I heard when I started in this field in 1982, and it's still the biggest one today. And I've thought about this over the years. I have a theory that the reason that people come into it and start with this attitude, I don't have time for it, is that they're starting with a faulty premise, namely this idea that more is better. Well, if this guy is saying 45 minutes twice a week is good, then 90 minutes six times a week will be that much better. And some things in life do work that way, Joe. To some things, more is better. It's mainly, I think, a socioeconomic principle. You know, more money is generally better than less. More love is better than less. More peace on earth is definitely better than less. But this premise doesn't apply to strength training, and here's why. In order for your body to change from your strength training, you have to give it a good reason to do so. If you can lift 50 pounds on a certain exercise for 10 reps, but you always stop at 8 repetitions, why should your body alter itself? It has no reason to. On the other hand, if you did 10 repetitions last time, and today you try for 11 repetitions, you've sent a signal to your body that the current condition of that muscle is insufficient for that demand, if it's imposed in the future, and it needs to get stronger and bigger to deal with those demands. So the number one thing is the workout has to be intense, as close to a maximum effort as possible in order to be productive. Now, most people have some sense of this, Joe. Most people know that, you know, the workout's going to be strenuous. It's got to be fairly difficult for it to get you stronger. Nobody gets big arms by lifting pencils. And if you make the intensity of your workout high, which is necessary to get stronger, as I said, it will necessarily be brief, Joe, because intensity of effort and duration of effort are inversely proportional. So in simple terms, you can either strength train hard or you can strength train for a long time, but you can't do both successfully, just like nobody can sprint all out for a mile. And training hard for a short period of time is what's going to give you the best results. It's the exercise equivalent of using a tanning bed to get a suntan. Now, as we've been saying, this is great news, of course, because if you're willing to commit to putting in a high level of effort, you only need to do one set per exercise. And that's how you can complete a full body workout in under 45 minutes. The other common concern I hear, Joe, which is more specific to older people over 50 or so, is this I'm over the hill mentality. So this idea that they're too old to lift heavy weights, and if they try to do that, they're going to end up getting injured. And I think part of the problem here is they may be picturing in their minds confusing proper strength training with a demonstration of strength, like Olympic weightlifting that you might see on television, or the World's Strongest Man contest, things like that, which is quite different than proper strength training for the purpose of exercise. Or they may be remembering, you know, back when they were in their 20s and everybody's in somebody's basement around the weights and they're just trying to see who can lift the most. That's not what we're talking about here. So they have this fear that I can't do those things now that I'm older or I'm going to get hurt. The problem is, as I just went through, light weights that are easy to lift don't build muscle. So we have to overcome this fear in people. And the way I address this fear with my older clients is to teach them right off the bat proper form immediately. That's the first thing we go through before we start trying to increase any of the weights. And the first thing that they learn is proper repetition speed. We start with that, which for my clients, the proper speed is lifting the weight in 2 seconds and lowering the weight in 4 seconds. Sometimes we go slower than that, but we never go faster than that. What that does, Joe, is this slow speed ensures that the weight is being moved by the force of their muscular contraction alone, and it leaves out the dangerous forces of momentum. When you do what you see a lot of people doing in the gym, which is throwing the weight or jerking the weight or wiggling their body around just in order to lift the weight, you're actually doing two bad things. You're making the exercise easier on your muscles because momentum is lifting the weight rather than you. And the other bad thing is you're making it harder on your joints because that extra force of momentum that you've incorporated into the movement needs to be absorbed at some point by your joints. So what you've done is you've made the exercise easier on your muscles and hard on your joints. But by using this slow speed, 2 seconds up and 4 seconds down, reverses that. It makes the exercise hard on your muscles, but easy on your joints, which is exactly what we want. The other thing I do, Joe, to address this issue is I make sure that they are choosing the safest piece of equipment available for each exercise so that all they have to concentrate on doing is pushing or pulling as hard as they can with the working muscles. They don't have to worry about losing their balance, having something fall on them, or getting stuck under a heavy weight. If your mind is distracted with those kinds of dangers, then you're not going to be able to concentrate on reaching that point of maximum effort that we talked about earlier. So what we do is we select exercises where they can safely exit the exercise at any time. And then they see that once these guidelines are applied, Joe, they're lifting the weight slowly and smoothly with muscular force alone. We've selected an exercise that they can safely exit at any point in time. They can see that strength training is actually the safest form of exercise, even when you're using heavy weights. And now we've overcome that mental fear and we can move on and progress the weights to a heavy level. And when you work out like this, strength training doesn't have an age limit. In my career, I've trained personal training clients everywhere from 12 years old all the way up to 96 years old.
You mentioned this before, talking about recovery, but I'm curious, Dave, what do people need to know about flexibility, pliability, to bring in a term popularized by Tom Brady, and recovery?
Well, with regard to flexibility, Joe, as I'm sure anyone listening who's over 50 has noticed, we start to lose flexibility and feel stiffer as we get older. And there are aspects to the natural aging process that are responsible for this. We're dealing with decreased collagen levels. Collagen is a substance that's in our connective tissues. So decreased levels of that are going to make the ligaments and tendons that surround our joints less pliable. We've also got a thinning of cartilage structures going on due to decreased water content. So structures like the articular cartilage that lines the insides of our joints and also our spinal discs tend to lose water as we get older and thin out. And this affects flexibility in an adverse way. By the way, Joe, as a side note, if you ever meet somebody, as I do from time to time, who's 80 years old and they say, I used to be 5'8", but now I'm 5'6". This thinning out of the spinal discs due to decreased water content is the culprit. That's why people get shorter. Another thing we have going on is a decreased production of synovial fluid, which is the fluid that lubricates our joints, just like motor oil lubricates a car engine. So with all this going on, it kind of results in a decrease in flexibility. But the thing is, Joe, just like strength training can counteract an age-related decline in muscular strength, properly performed stretching can fight off an age-related loss of flexibility. So a couple things that people want to do with regard to proper stretching. Now, unlike strength training, people can stretch every day if they wish. They may not need to do it that often, but it's okay. It's a low-intensity activity. It feels good. So go ahead and do some stretching. Two recommendations I have to keep it safe. Number one, always warm up your muscles before stretching. Stretching, by the way, is not a warm-up for exercise. Warming up is light activity, as I mentioned earlier. Stretching is best done when the muscles are warm. If you stretch a cold muscle, you might have the risk of pulling a muscle or damaging a muscle in some way. Actually, right after a strength training workout is a great time to stretch. But even if you do it on your off days, make sure to warm up a little bit first. And also, Joe, they want to hold each stretch for at least 10 to 30 seconds. No jerking, no bouncing. Bouncing up and down to try to touch your toes is a recipe for an injury disaster. So just a slow, controlled, smooth stretch, holding it for at least 10 to 30 seconds. And then releasing the pressure. It should not be painful either. Now, regarding the second part of your question, Joe, what people need to know about recovery time between strength training workouts, this is so critical because recovery time is when your body actually produces the increase in muscular strength that was stimulated by the workout. And now that we're older, we're going to need more time to recover than we did in our 20s to allow those changes to take place. It seems like when you're in your 20s, you can recover from just about anything fairly quickly, but it's a little bit more difficult as we get over 50. So, Joe, when you finish an intense workout, I'm sure you don't feel the same as you did before you started. I'm sure you feel very fatigued. The reason is that you used up a lot of energy resources within your body to complete that workout. So in effect, you've dug an energy hole. The first thing your body has to do is fill in that hole. That is, compensate for the exhaustive effects of the workout. Only once that's completed, Joe, can your body then overcompensate in the form of bigger, stronger muscles. So picture a hole in your backyard. The first thing you have to do is fill that hole back in before you can pile some dirt on top of that hole. And with strength training, it's the same way. You have to fill in that energy hole. And then and only then can you put some extra muscle on top of where that hole used to be. And this process doesn't take a few hours when you're over 50. It takes a few days. If you work out again before the whole process is complete, you won't get any strength building benefit from your last workout. So I recommend people over 50 strength train no more than twice a week with at least 2 recovery days in between workouts. And if they're putting in a maximum effort in every workout, as we discussed, and they're still not seeing results, they should work out less often, adding an extra recovery day or two between workouts. My advanced clients, Joe, strength train once a week for under 45 minutes, which is what I do myself, and I'm 62.
Very helpful. And Dave, can you share a story of a client you've worked with and how strength training helped them?
Joe, one of my favorite client stories is of a guy named Jim. Jim, at the time he came to us, was 54 years old. He's an air conditioning contractor in our local area here. I live in Clearwater, Florida. And when I say we, I mean my wife and I, to our personal training studio. He came to us because he had serious knee pain that he wanted to do something about. Walking was very difficult for him, just walking, let alone, as you might imagine, performing his job, repairing and installing air conditioning systems, carrying things upstairs, things of that nature. It was quite painful for him. After 3 months of strength training, Joe, he was able to walk without any pain in his knee. And at that point, he set a 1-year goal to be able to hike to the top of Stone Mountain, which is in Georgia. It's in the Atlanta area, which he had never been able to do. Well, he ended up not having to wait a year. He drove up there a week later, and he actually achieved his goal. He was able to complete the hike to the top of Stone Mountain, which is about 2 miles long and about 1,600 feet up. He told us it took him about 2.5 hours. He had no pain on the entire ascent. Not only that, but he also was pain-free performing his job and was able to postpone knee replacement surgery. And the one and only change he made to his lifestyle was adding 2 30-minute strength training workouts per week. And there's an epilogue to this one, Joe. A couple years later, he was in my house fixing the air handler of my air conditioning system. And as he was performing the repair, he had to get down on his knees to get at something. And all of a sudden, he stops and he looks up at me. So I'm thinking, okay, this repair is about to cost a lot more than I thought. But instead, he said to me, I couldn't do this before I started working out with you guys. And what he meant was the kneeling. He couldn't kneel down like that before he started strength training. So that was really fun for me to not only learn about his ability to climb Stone Mountain, which had been a goal of his, a bucket list item for him, but to see firsthand how strength training had positively impacted his day-to-day life.
Great, Dave. Thanks for sharing that story and so many tips. You've made us smarter about strength training and how it can benefit us and how to do it safely and properly. Appreciate you taking the time.
Thanks so much, Joe. I had a great time being here.
Appreciate Dave Durrell making the time today to help us learn more about strength training and in particular, how to do it wisely and properly. And as he mentioned at the very beginning, keep in mind that as we age, it's less about appearances and more about health and function. And it's something you want to learn how to do properly if you decide to take it up and add it into your fitness regimen. I took away a couple of practical things, one being that ratio of 2 seconds in lifting up properly and 4 seconds to release. Tend to probably do 2 seconds on both, so I'll pay more attention to that. And also really to pay attention to recovery. I know that's an important thing as we get older. Add in the recovery and balance out with the intensity that he talked about. If you do undertake this and you haven't worked out in a while, or just in general, make sure you check with your doctor to make sure it's okay. But it certainly can add a lot and positive benefits to add that into the mix. Thank you for listening to Retirement Wisdom Podcast. Our mission is to help people retire smarter by making sure that they're paying more attention to the non-financial aspects of life in retirement. And keep in mind that your retirement won't be like anyone else's. Won't be like your neighbors, won't be like previous generations, won't be like other family members or coworkers. So what do you want your new life to look like? I use a structured, principle-based three-phase process called Design Your Life to help people envision a new life and imagine new possibilities, evaluate alternative paths that they perhaps haven't considered before, and then create an actionable roadmap to their new lifestyle. We have a new session of the group program kicking off September 24th. You'll see a link to the program in the show notes. And we appreciate you listening, and we have some new episodes coming your way soon. Thanks again for listening to the Retirement Wisdom Podcast.
Thank you for joining us today on the Retirement Wisdom Podcast. You can listen to all episodes of our podcast by subscribing to them on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and Stitcher, or on our website at retirementwisdom.com.